You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Judge, if I really, really would, but the gin in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and I am happy and proud to be with all of you, and thanks for tuning in this evening. Our special thanks go out to our good friend, John B. Wells, and again, his website to sign up for his only $5 a month subscription radio program is Caravan to Midnight, and it's just like it sounds, proper English, and he's on our preferred and trusted list of broadcasters, and it was our honor and pleasure to have him on. Also, in the final half hour, as a reminder, we'll have Dr. Ted Brewer with some very breaking news about the five or six now, I believe it is, dead medical people and what's really behind that. And let's put it this way. The Hagmans had their show knocked off the air last night over this. I'm absolutely convinced of that. We'll get into all that. And real quickly here, I want to just mention that this segment is brought to you by Before It's News and their website, beforeitsnews.com. And the owner of Before It's News, Chris Kitsky, has put together a website where he wanted the average person to be able to report news, as well as people he has as paid contributors. And I'm fortunate enough to be one of those. And he's concerned about getting the word out. And this has the same mission as myself, John B. Wells, Steve Quayle, etc. Great website, and I encourage everyone to visit every day, beforeitsnews.com, citizen journalism at its best. And we are officially in our health segment with our health reporter, Katie, I can't mention cure, healing, essential oils, Waylon. Katie. You got a ton to cover, so let me just get out of your way and let you go.
Hi, Dave. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm going to work right into Ted's segment, too, because it all blends together. But I am loaded for bear tonight with this one. So I'm going to jump right into the health segment tonight with more FDA news. So anybody who wants to follow along with me can go to theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. I've got all the links, all the stories that I'm reading from tonight. Real important information. This is from activistpost.com, July 20th. It says, FDA does Big Pharma's dirty work again. It's time to censor the benefits of essential oils. Remember this information as I'm reading through this. This is from the 1998, way back in 1998, the JAMA, Journal of American Medicine. Deaths during a two-year period. Deaths due to FDA-approved prescription drugs, 212,000. Deaths due to unapproved essential oils, zero. Okay? So in September of 2014, the FDA began a coordinated attack on companies that market essential oils. And we all know that from when I talked last January. The top brands are doTERRA and Young Living, both companies offer essential oils to help manage a variety of symptoms ranging from headaches to anxiety to hyperactivity. So many of these essential oil users claim to have eliminated the need for over-the-counter medications due to using specific combination of essential oils to target these common maladies. Well, the FDA has conducted a thorough search of the internet. So they're now out scouring the internet. They have nothing better to do. This is what our tax dollars are going towards, including websites, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and cited instances that say Young Living essential oils were mentioned in conjunction with a medical diagnosis. For example, Eucalyptus Blue essential oil has antiviral, anti-inflammatory properties. And since this was a testimonial, since I have become an avid Young Living essential oil user, I've learned all about the antimicrobial properties of so many oils, including antiviral constituents. That is now a no-go. You can't say that now. No one can say that. You can't have it on your websites, nowhere. This is all being scrubbed from the internet. Now, remember that as I continue reading on, because later I'm going to get to a government website where scientists post and publish their research on essential oils. So the FDA, got that? The FDA is saying we can't make benign claims personally that we've become better, healthier by using essential oils. For example, wellness advocates can no longer maintain independent websites listing the ways essential oils have benefited them. All websites must be cookie-cutter sites issued by the company with approved language on them. They ask the advocates to scrub their personal and business social media accounts of any mention of said brand doTERRA products as well. So the FDA is squeezing these billion-dollar companies out of business, as far as I'm concerned. A wellness advocate from doTERRA, this is from the story at activistpost.com. A wellness advocate from doTERRA reported on 7/17/15 that private and password-protected pages of her blog had been accessed by the FDA, which had made a complaint to doTERRA requiring that pages be edited or eliminated. Private citizens may not share written information on the internet about how essential oils have improved their health of their family, or the health of their clients. This is outrageous. A large percentage of the population is interested in natural remedies, but natural remedies come at a cost, and that cost is to big pharma. Pharmaceutical companies are losing big money as researchers show what humans have known for a long time, thousands of years, in fact. By improving our health through diet, exercise, natural remedies, we can avoid most reasons to go to the doctor. Well, that's bad news for the big guys making a lot of money. So the FDA argues that doTERRA and Young Living are marketing their products as drugs without being FDA approved. Frankly, I don't think we should be FDA approved. Almost a year after their initial probe, these companies now risk armed federal marshals coming to their warehouses and seizing all of their inventory. The FDA has added information on its pages about the toxicity of essential oils, yet the American Association of Poison Control Centers has zero deaths on record. Did we all hear that correctly? So, aromatic plants precede medicine and pharmaceuticals by thousands of years. The NIH, National Institute of Health website, has published thousands, which I'm going to get to, of peer-reviewed studies proving the benefits of these oils. This is crazy. So only time will tell if the future of the essential oil industry will survive this.
So what you have, let me make sure I understand, okay, to recap. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to repeat what my audience has heard me say in the past, but I have a background in teaching research at the graduate level and people doing their dissertation. I used to do that work. So I know about this process. I want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. Does essential oils or their raw products have anything in peer-reviewed literature suggestive of the fact that they can change the course of an illness or a disease?
Yes, and I'm going to read that.
Gets down to, real quickly, and I'll just throw this out and then I'm going to get out of your way. Mm-hmm. What this gets down to is scientific fraud by the FDA. That's actionable in a court of law. There are statutes that cover this. And also what we're looking at, this is restraint of business. It's also a violation of First Amendment because you have statements being made on known facts that are being limited. Okay, with that, I'm going to shut up and let you go.
And that is exactly what I wrote. I called it fraud. I mean, how is that the FDA has the power and authority to stifle speech, publications, advertising, any form of public discussion on conclusive, positive research on essential oils by hundreds of scientists and researchers from across the world who've provided clear and accurate factual information via extensive testing on how these essential oils have successfully reduced, if not eradicated, bacterias, funguses, cancer cells, and a myriad of dangerous pathogens. And I will read from a government website of this research. even though the facts state these claims to be true and published on government bioresearch database sites. So someone please tell me how this has happened and why are we taking this lying down? I mean, to me, enough is enough. The FDA and drug companies know this information is out there. They know they can't control this billion-dollar real healthcare industry. And so they're bringing the hammer down on natural medicine and alternative physicians, which Dr. Ted will get into next, and the industry that provides it because they can't control it or God or natural resource, nature's resources. I mean, is the if the FDA forbids me to discuss the effective power of essential oils on pathogens, then I am going to read verbatim from their own government research database. Notice the research is done all over the world, but not in the U.S. So ask yourself why that is. Is Big Pharma stifling any research, conclusive evidence, and discussion that would cut into its multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical monopoly and eviscerate the traditional, quote, disease-based institutes, unquote, that rake in billions in tax base and public donation funding? So in other words, destroy the fraudulent arm of the U.S. medical industry. So what I've got here, I'm going to run through some information that you can find on theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. It'll take you to, get this, it's the NIH, the National Institute of Health site. It's a .gov site, a government research site. The National Center for Biotechnology Information, NCBI. Frankincense. This is some, there's one of, what is it, there's 8,000 research papers published on this site on essential oils. I just picked three or four. So here's frankincense on three human breast cell lines. So we've got all three human breast cell cancer. I'm cutting out a lot of the, just, I'm reading from this research, but I'm cutting out a lot of the science. All three human breast cancer cell lines were sensitive to essential oil treatment with reduced cell viability and elevated cell death, causing the breakdown of multicellular tumor spheroids. So gum resin, which is frankincense, have been shown to possess anti-inflammatory, anti-neoplastic effects. Essential oil prepared by distillation of the gum resin traditionally used for aromatic therapy has also been shown to have tumor cell-specific anti-proliferation and pro-apoptic activities. That means it basically kills the cell. The objective of this study was to optimize conditions for preparing Boswellia sicra, which is frankincense, essential oil with the highest biological activity in inducing tumor cell specific cytotoxicity and suppressing aggressive tumor phenotypes in human breast cells. So they know this is out there. Here's the conclusion of this particular research, this research. Similar to our previous observations in human bladder cancer cells, so frankincense has been tested on bladder cancer cells. Frankincense essential oil induces breast cancer cell specific cytotoxicity, which means it doesn't like it. It destroys it. Suppression of cellular network formation and disruption of spheroid development of breast cancer cells. So that's just one test. I've got another one. Liquid and vapor phase antifungal activities of selected essential oils against Candida albicans. Candida albicans is yeast. It's Candida. It's horrendous. It's the foundation of all disease. Everyone has yeast in their system. If you have yeast overgrowth, you can pretty much count on getting anything from the common cold to cancer. It is a very dangerous thing to have Candida in your system, a Candida overgrowth. So background, yeast, Candida, fungus. Use of essential oils for controlling Candida albicans growth has gained significance due to the resistance acquired by pathogens toward a number of widely used drugs. The aim of this study was to test the antifungal activity of selected essential oils against Candida albicans in liquid and vapor form. Results? Lemongrass essential oil exhibited the strongest antifungal effect followed by Mentha peperita, which is peppermint, and eucalyptus essential oil. Lemongrass essential oil in liquid phase significantly higher than in the vapor phase. So, in essence, lemongrass essential oil at MIC level in liquid and vapor showed prominent shrinkage and partial degradation. So, conclusion, lemongrass essential oil is highly effective in vapor phase against Candida albicans, leading to deleterious morphological changes in cellular structure, meaning it eradicates it. It takes it down.
It eradicates a lot, and I will tell you this. You better be careful, because when you start talking about healing more than one thing, you're taking money out of certain people's pockets, Katie.
I realize this.
And you know what Ted's going to get into in the final half hour.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I'll tell you, I am reading I'm reading from a government website that anybody can find. I've got it posted on my blog, the Essential Oil Well.blogspot. You can go through pages and pages of this. The FDA knows this. The drug companies know this. But interestingly enough, they will not encourage or allow this research in the United States. All this testing is done in Europe, in the Middle East, in Pakistan, in Israel, everywhere but here. So here's one more if I have time here. Antibacterial activity. This is really important because this is about MRSA. The next two are about MRSA. So current research work. Now I'm reminding you, I'm reading. Come after me for reading from your own government website. Current research work was to study the chemical composition of the essential oil of bergamot, along with evaluating the essential oil and its major components of their antibacterial effects against some frequently encountered respiratory infections causing pathogens. The oil composition was dominated by oxygenated monoterpenes. Basically, antibacterial activity of the essential oil and its major constituents was evaluated against Streptococcus pyogenes, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus, which is MRSA. We've all heard about MRSA, Streptococcus pneumoniae, which is the bacteria which causes pneumonia, E. coli. The study revealed that the essential oil and its constituents exhibited a broad spectrum and variable degree of antibacterial activity against different strains. Among the tested strains, Strep, E. coli, Strep pneumoniae. So they know. They know. Scanning electron microscopy revealed that the essential oil induced potent and dose-dependent membrane damage in S. pyrogenes and MRSA bacteria strains. There you go. Just reading from a government site. Here's one more. The main objective of this study, this was a antimicrobial activity of the bioactive components of essential oils from Pakistani spices against salmonella. The main objective of this was the phytochemical characterization of four indigenous essential oils obtained from spices and antibacterial activities against the multi-drug resistant clinical and soil isolates prevalent in Pakistan. So key word here, multi-drug resistant. Cumin, cinnamon, cardamom, and clove. Pretty simple. Salmonella, Staphylococcus, Pseudomonas fluorescens, Bacillus lichenformis. Among all the tested essential oils from the bark of cinnamon verum showed best antibacterial activity against all selected bacterial strains. Conclusion, most of the essential oils included in this study possessed good antibacterial activities against selected multi-drug resistant clinical and soil bacterial strains. Cinnamon was identified as the most active antimicrobial component present in the cinnamon essential oil, which acted as a strong inhibitory agent in these tested bacteria. So here we have, these are multi-drug resistant strains. And these simple essential oils, these Pakistani spices, had a tremendous effect. You can go, anybody can go on this, like I said, and read through this. And this is being kept from you, ladies and gentlemen. This information is being kept from you. And every time the FDA takes its hammer down on these companies and the people trying to educate you, they're taking away your rights, your freedom for better health.
They're killing us. Let's get right down to the bottom line. When you deny people the right to treat serious illness, you are an accomplice to murder.
You're not going to get an objection from me. This has me fired up because it affects me and my ability to speak, to teach, to simply post something on a Facebook page or a website. I can't do that now. And they've got these companies so hamstrung and handcuffed that they're having to make these broad blanket policies, internal company policies, that hamstring the consultants and the people out there teaching.
Yeah, so exactly, you're exactly right. I'm going to make a statement here very quickly. We are going to publish John B. Wells tonight. We'll get that up on the website in case you missed the first hour. We're going to distribute this like crazy. Your half hour with Ted, these shows go out in hour blocks on the archives. I'm asking people in the listening audience to share this over and over and over. I will have it up on the website tonight before midnight Pacific. And please, tomorrow evening, Tuesday, share this with everybody. And then, Katie, we need to come back with an action plan. Once we have people's attention, we need to come back with some kind of action plan. We need to shine the light on these rats.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a wonderful job here making this so simple. You've taken the complex, and you've made it extraordinarily easy to understand. And what we're looking at here is criminal negligence, criminal accomplice kind of behaviors that are denying people's rightful access to drugs that could save their lives. We're looking to conspiracy, academic fraud. I mean, we can go on and on with this. The FDA needs to be dismantled brick by brick. I mean, let's just be honest here. The FDA sanctions drugs like Vioxx and Celebrex that each killed over 100,000 people each. Essential oils, how many did they kill? Zero.
Zero.
Katie, quickly, give out your phone number.
720-630-3111. That's 720-630-3111. Let's talk oils.
Very good, Katie. Thank you so much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to step aside for a very quick momentary break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Ted Brewer, and it's not going to get any less controversial. Very quickly, I just wanted to remind everybody about my friend Pat Wood and his great book called Technocracy Rising. And we are living in the midst of that. You heard John B. Wells say, oh, they want to escape their bodies and go into receptacles and live forever. That's not a joke. You read about that in the book. And I would encourage you to get the book. It's reasonably priced. And Common Sense Show listeners have a couple of little specials waiting out there for them. All you have to do is go to the website, thecommonsenseshow.com, see the ad in the center that's blinking on and off. That's Pat Wood's ad. Click it on, and you'll go to the Common Sense page associated with that book. You'll get an autographed copy and a whole bunch of other goodies. Do that right after the show. And also, while you're on the website, make sure you sign up for our newsletter located at the top. It's a great way to keep up on everything that's going on the website. We have show updates constantly. We publish the archives. It's all right there. So make it easy, one-stop shopping, by stopping or signing up for our archives. Well, we are now in our open segment, and thank you to Dr. Ted Brewer, who agreed on very late notice to come on and give us a half-hour synopsis of what happened. And I've said all through the show that the Hagmans were taken down last night as they were attempting to interview Ted on this very controversial topic. So, Ted, thanks for joining us. Our audience knows who you are, or they should know who you are. Your website is healthmasters.com. And on that note, I got to be smart enough know when to shut up and step out of your way and let you summarize these important events.
Well, it's interesting to me, Dave, that the show went down with the Hagmans for an hour last night. I mean, we had the entire Blog Talk Radio was taken down. I have no idea why. You know, I have my suspicions as to why, but I'm not sure why. Only thing I know is this. You know, we were on after an hour, and the chat room had pretty much cleared out, and pretty much everybody thought we weren't going to do the show. So And then all of a sudden it turns back on again. So I thought that was interesting. But I want to share something with you real quickly because I want everybody to take some notes tonight because this is going to be pretty fast and it's going to be pretty scientific tonight. But I'm going to break it down and make it real simple. But do you remember about 6 years ago when Baxter Laboratories released live avian flu virus and they sent it into the Czech Republic, Slovenia, and Germany?
Yeah, very well. I reported on that.
Remember
that?
Yes. Remember that they actually, it was a contamination accident, which was being investigated by four European countries, came to light when the subcontractor in the Czech Republic decided just to check these viruses to make sure they weren't live with ferrets, and they all died. And so what happened is they were given live viruses, and what ended up happening is they were able to stop it before it went into the general population. So I wanted to share that with you very quickly as far as viral loads, et cetera, and what can be done. Because you really don't know what's being stuck in your arm when you get an immunization. You really have no idea, unless you have it analyzed or you test it on a ferret first. I guess make sure the ferret doesn't die. So let me read a disclaimer very quickly. Tonight's presentation is for alternative news only. These are my opinions or the opinions of others who have written the articles I'll be quoting from tonight. I'm not making any claims concerning GC-MAF. I have never sold GC-MAF. I do not even know where to buy it. I don't even think it's even available any longer. I have never used it. And what GC-MAF is a GC protein that has vitamin D added to it to become GC-MAF. So let me make it real simple. It's a base protein that adds vitamin D to it. It's what's called a macrophage, or like a vacuum cleaner. So you take a vacuum cleaner and you add vitamin D to it, or you put the right adapter to it, and the vacuum cleaner runs right. And it kills viruses. It goes after cancer cells. It does everything it's supposed to do. Now, what happens is, when you have viruses in your body, or cancer in your body, they release a compound called NAGylase. This is also an enzyme/protein. It's made, again, by the cancer cells or viruses. It causes immunodeficiency. And what it does, it stops the macrophage, or the vacuum cleaner, from getting the adapter, the vitamin D, to turn on. And so what happens is the macrophages start to flip out when they encounter a different type of protein in the body from an immunization. They say, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be here. So we need to go ahead and start eating this. This macrophage says that, but it can't be activated because doesn't have vitamin D. So the actual clinical definition of a GC-MAF, which is a vacuum cleaner with vitamin D, is a vitamin D binding protein macrophage activating factor. In other words, it allows it to start working in your body to kill the viruses, to kill the cancer. Now, the GC-MAF activates the macrophages against cancer cells. When you have NAGylase in the body from viruses or from cancer cells, it stops the binding of the vitamin D, so it pretty much stops your immune system from working properly. And when this happens, your body ends up having what's called a cytokine storm. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And that's kind of like the vacuum cleaner gets turned on backwards and it starts blowing dirt out of the nozzle. And these cytokines start blowing out all over the body. And what they are, they're activating enzymes trying to tell the other macrophages to turn on that they can't get the job done. And it's an inflammatory condition. It starts causing massive inflammation. This is why a lot of children, when they get the DPT shot for the third booster, usually at the 18-month phase, they end up going into what's called an encephalitic scream. Their basal arch and their body is basically being inflamed. Their brain starts to swell. The child goes into a stiff back arch, becomes very rigid, and starts with a super, super high-pitched scream that can go on for 18 to 24 hours. It's insane. You can read articles on it if you'd like online. It's some pretty horrible stuff. And what's happening is the brain is swelling because of the release of cytokines. That's called a cytokine storm. When all this dust starts blowing out of the vacuum cleaner inside the body, it's called a cytokine storm, and it causes brain inflammation, and the brain is pressing against the cranial bone or the cranial cartilage at that point in their life, and what ends up happening is causing cranial pressure, and it causes extreme pain for the child. Okay, so now you understand who the people are playing this game here. What happened, apparently, these guys who are working on autism and cancer and chronic fatigue, Dr. Bradstreet, he was doing extensive research on NAGylase and the viral issue in autism. And what he found, supposedly, since all these guys are dead now, this is awful, I mean, they've all departed the planet, he basically apparently found, I can't ask him this, But he was concerned that this Nagalase was being introduced via the vaccines, or these viruses were being introduced via the vaccines that were releasing Nagalase, and he felt it was one of the primary components of the autistic problem that we were having. So let me read you a couple of quick articles on this, since we don't have a lot of time tonight. I'll just make it as quick as I can. This is from the Foundation for Alternative and Integrative Medicine, and you can find it online. It's by David Noakes, N-O-A-K-E-S. And David says, human GCMAF, otherwise known as vitamin D-binding macrophage protein, in other words, the vacuum cleaner with the vitamin D attached to it, holds great promise in the treatment of various illnesses, including cancer, autism, chronic fatigue, and possibly Parkinson's. GCMAF is a vital part of our immune system, which does not work without it. Okay, it means if the vitamin D cannot attach to it, it can't work. So your vitamin D is super important. But remember, you always have to take K with your D. Never take a vitamin D supplement unless it has vitamin K added to it, and make sure the vitamin D is always lanolin-based. He goes on to say that GCMAF stimulates the macrophage element of the immune system to destroy cancer cells. It also blocks the supply of nutrients to the cancer cells by stopping blood vessels developing at the site. When the immune system begins to be ravaged, it stops producing the GCMAF, and the cancer continues to grow. In the case of autism, Dr. James Bradstreet has so far treated 1,100 patients with an injection of straight GCMAF with an 85% response rate, with a full 15% cure rate, and 15% of the patients had no response. In addition, experimental and clinical evidence confirms that GCMAF shows multiple powerful anti-cancer effects that has significant therapeutic impact on most tumors, including breast, prostate, kidney. GCMF is created in the body by the release of two sugar molecules from the GC protein molecule. However, tumors release an enzyme known called Nagalase, and Nagalase degrades the GC protein to the point it is unable to become the vitamin D GCMAF. And since GCMAF only lives for about a week in the body without continuous conversion of the G protein stores in the bodies, they're depleted very rapidly in the presence of Nagalase. However, Nagalase can only destroy GC protein and not the GCMAF. Thus, the introduction of an external GCMAF through injection into the body has shown to be very, very effective. Now, what all this says is this. Apparently, these guys figured out that Nagalase was somehow either being introduced into the body, or a virus was being introduced to the body that was releasing Nagalase, which was destroying this vacuum cleaner with the vitamin D, this macrophage with the D, which is the GCMAF. In another article here that was written by Kent Heckenbly, and he said, this is on Dr. Bradstreet, Nagalase, and the viral issue in autism. He goes, in the past months, Dr. Bradstreet has become interested in Nagalase, which he describes as an enzyme produced by cancer cells and viruses. He thinks it unlikely that children with autism have undiagnosed cancers, and therefore it falls upon the viral etiology. In other words, some type of virus was put into them, or they came down with some virus. Dr. Bradstreet writes, viruses make the Nagalase enzyme as part of the attachment protein. It serves to get the virus into the cell and also decreases the body's immune reaction to the virus, thereby increasing the odds of survival. So in other words, you have to have that protein, or else you'll die. If you don't have the vacuum cleaner running with the vitamin D, it won't work. That's what he's saying. It is reasonable and likely that the nature of the immune dysfunction and the frequently observed autoimmune problems of autism are mediated by persistent unresolved viral infections. He claims to have tested approximately 400 children with the autism marker for Nagalase and found that nearly 80% had significantly elevated levels. And he hoped to soon publish his research with his research. Now, let me tell you what Nagalase can actually do and how powerful this compound is as far as destroying the immune system. I'm going to read you, this is another article here. This is another very good one. It goes, of all the rules that can't, this is from Dr. Tim Smith, MD. Of all the rules cancer cells break, none is more alarming than the production of Nagalase, the evil enzyme that completely hogties the immune system's army to stop cancer cells. Virus particles also make Nagalase. So cancer does and virus does. Their goal is the same as that of the cancer cell, survival by incapacitating their number one enemy, the immune system. He goes on to say, like a stealth bomber, the Nagalase enzyme synthesized and released from a cancer cell or a virus particle pinpoints the GCMAF production facilities on the surface of your T and B lymphocytes and then wipes them out with an incredibly precise bomb. Then he goes on to say, how precise? Let me put it this way. Nagalase locates and attacks one specific two-electron bond located at the 420th amino acid position on a huge protein molecule, one of tens of thousands of proteins, each containing millions of electrons. This is like selectively taking out a park bench in a major city from 6,000 miles away. More astonishing, if that is possible, NAGLase never misses their target and there is no collateral damage. As you already know, this GCMAF, this vitamin D macrophage, is a cell signaling glycoprotein that talks to other macrophages, enabling them to rapidly find, attack, and kill viruses and cancer cells by activating macrophages. The GCMAF triggers a cascade. Here we go with that cascade again that activates the entire immune system. This is called a cytokine cascade. Blockage of the GCMAF production by NAGLase brings all of this wonderful anti-cancer and viral immune system to a halt. Now, apparently, these doctors had figured out that something was going on with NAGLase. They had found something that was going on with this GCMAF protein, and the ones in Florida I have read that they were collaborating together on this, and they had all been visited by the Food and Drug Administration, and they ended up leaving the planet. Now, what's interesting about all of this is that I started digging into this whole thing deeper and deeper last night, and I wanted to find out if this vitamin D precursor, this GCMAF, did anything else, and I found out some very interesting things. And I pulled all these different articles up, and let me go ahead and read you this too. This is from the GCMAF.eu. This is their website. In its role of immune system regulator, research that GCMAF can reverse other diseases that attack the immune system, like autism, chronic fatigue syndrome, Lyme disease, AIDS, HIV, fibromyalgia, and this just goes on and on and on. Now, again, I'm not making these claims. This is what these websites are saying out of Europe. Now, the manufacturer, the plant that was manufacturing this GCMAF, is apparently no longer manufacturing anything, and they've been shut down by the regulatory agents of disease in Europe. Now, in addition to that, when you delete the macrophage vitamin D receptors in the body, it also does something else, which people wouldn't, I didn't even realize this. It massively promotes insulin resistance, and then it says the monocyte cholesterol transport, and it massively accelerates atherosclerosis. In other words, the same thing that's causing this problem with the immune system is causing a massive increase in heart disease. Last night on the Hagman show, I did 2 hours on his show, and we talked about all the different techniques and protocols that the New World Order was using as far as population control. And I personally believe this is probably one of the population control devices that they're using, because they know this as well as, I mean, this is all general literature that I'm reading here right off the internet from the studies that were done. So these guys know this stuff too. It also causes massive pro-inflammatory cytokine production, which now we know that one of the primary causes of heart disease is inflammation in the coronary artery system, which leads to the atherosclerotic plaquing. And now we're seeing why that happens, and it's all about this macrophage not being activated with proper vitamin D. Here's the trick on that, though. When you check the children who have autism, usually their vitamin D levels are very high. And the reason for that is their bodies can't use the vitamin D, which is a principal component of the immune system, which stops the cytokine storm. So if you can't shut these things down, they start dumping all these cytokines, these pro-inflammatory agents, which ends up, again, with that encephalitic scream. Here's another article. The role of vitamin D.
Before you go on, though, I want to make sure I get this. So when the vitamin D is supposed to, when it enters the body and is supposed to do its job at the cell receptor site, it's like it makes a phone call, but no one's home to answer it. It gets blocked. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, pretty much. Here's a little bit easier. Let's say the vitamin D comes to the front door, and it's got a key to open the door, right? And somebody puts a nail in the keyhole, okay? And the key won't go in. And you're like, okay, the key won't work. Well, that's what happens with vitamin D. And so what happens is this factor that's supposed to become this vitamin D vacuum cleaner just floats off and has no purpose anymore, just dies. And the way it does that, it knocks off two sugar molecules. That's what the NAGLase does. And so it basically cuts off the receptor so it can't attach itself. And so it renders it completely useless. That's why the NAGLase is so dangerous. And that's why these doctors were working trying to get rid of the NAGLase and giving this vacuum cleaner with the vitamin D into the patient with direct injections. And that's apparently why the FDA raided their offices trying to find evidence of this, because that drug, that compound, that macrophage with vitamin D was considered contraband in the United States and wasn't legal to possess. I mean, the whole thing's almost hard to believe. It is, Dave, when you start going down to it. But here's another one. So here's another one, the role of vitamin D in type 2 diabetes. This is another article from Dr. Meredith Hawkins and Preeti Kinshaw. And she wrote, in recent years, researchers have linked low levels of vitamin D to insulin resistance and diabetes. Overcoming insulin resistance in particular should be the way to head off diabetes too before you start. Right now, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that suggests that giving people vitamin D may actually help with insulin resistance. She goes on to say that macrophages are specialized immune systems, immune cells that attack invaders. Researchers now think may have a secondary function as a cleanup crew, which we know that. When fat cells get too large, they die. The macrophages move in to eliminate the dead tissue. That, Kishore says, may be the reason that so many of these cells are overrepresented in fatty tissue and why inflammation, a sign that macrophages are at work because of the cytokine storm, is often more severe in people who are overweight or obese. For people with diabetes, the latest research suggests that macrophage activity can have an added drawback. Macrophages at work produce chemicals called cytokines, we talked about a minute ago, which of some serve as signals to other parts of the body, and they can impair insulin action in the liver and the muscle. High cytokine means more insulin resistance, a key factor in type 2 diabetes. Kishore is working to find a way to turn down the activity of macrophages in the body. After noticing that macrophages have special receptors for vitamin D, Kishore decided to look at whether vitamin D deficiency may be making macrophages more active, which is what it does, contributing to insulin resistance and inflammation in the process with a cytokine storm. So when you have less vitamin D, which in other words, the macrophages can't be attached to vitamin D, these macrophages are more active as far as releasing cytokines to increase inflammation. And then she goes on to say that they've had a 37% drop in the blood sugars in these patients they were using by giving them vitamin D. But again, it has to be combined with K2, because if you don't have enough vitamin K with the D, you can actually end up with arterial calcification. So that's why people are a little bit scared of vitamin D. And that's why, we helped Doug Hagman, his blood sugar was sky high, and I told him, I said, why don't you do the vitamin D? And so we put a whole protocol together that helped stabilize his blood sugar, and we took his blood sugar from like 450 down to 100, and we did that by putting him on a dietary change, working with his doctor, and giving him these supplements, including vitamin D with vitamin K, and we put him on a whole protocol that's available at healthmasters.com. But what's interesting about this, though, Dave, is that people don't realize that this thing is being linked to everything, to tuberculosis, to heart disease, to diabetes, to cancer, to autism, and these guys were coming public with this, and they were starting to tell everybody about it, and I believe personally that's why these guys were taken out. Let me read you one more thing. Adverse effects of cytokines. This is right off of Wikipedia on cytokines, spelled C-Y-T-O-K-I-N, and it says, here are the adverse effects of cytokines have been linked to many disease states and conditions ranging from schizophrenia, depression, cancer, Alzheimer's, etc. Normal tissue integrity is preserved by feedback interactions between diverse cell types mediated by adhesion molecules and secreted cytokines. Disruption of normal feedback mechanisms in cancer threatens tissue integrity. Over-secretion of cytokines can trigger a dangerous syndrome known as a cytokine storm, which we've mentioned like four times now. This may have been the cause of the severe adverse effects during the clinical trial of TGN-1412. Cytokine storms were also a major cause of death in the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, in which there wasn't sufficient quantities of vitamin D. These people got sick with the flu. They had a massive cytokine storm. Their lungs filled with fluids, and they died. Cytokines are integral and implicated in all angles of the cascade, resulting in the systemic inflammatory response syndrome and multi-organ failure associated with intra-abdominal catastrophe. And so it goes on and on and on. So these doctors apparently had discovered that nagalase is being introduced either through a viral load or through straight nagalase, and that's why I read you that first thing from 2009 in which they were given live viruses to these people. Now here's a problem. We know that all of these folks nowadays that are going out and getting flu shots every year, I mean millions and millions get flu shots, adults now, then the flu shot also still contains thimerosal or mercury. Most people don't know that. Look on the label on the multi-view flu shot containers. They're getting all of these viral loads. They put human fetal cells in these viruses. They put MSG in these viruses. They put aluminum in there. They put adjuvants in. They put squalene in there. All of these different things create these massive inflammation areas at the injection site, causing that cytokine storm. That's what causes the inflammation. So if you don't have sufficient quantities of vitamin D or your nagalase levels are high and you start producing more nagalase levels, and then you don't have that vacuum cleaner, that GCMAF, working properly, you can give yourself all kinds of viral problems. That's why so many people nowadays get so sick, Dave, when they take these immunizations. Because they're getting loaded up. What does a kid get now? 67 immunizations? And we're wondering why so many kids are coming down with autism? And here's the problem. You give a child autism, you know, when they're young, that child, if you don't know how to get rid of the autism, like these doctors say they knew how to do, you know, at least in 15% of the cases, you're dealing with a child with autism the rest of your adult life, and then someone else has to take care of that child. That's why so many of these kids are institutionalized by the state, because the parents simply can't handle them when they're full-grown adults. And now 1 in 58 children are coming down with autism. They're saying it's going to be 1 in 25 pretty quick in a few years, and they're saying if the current trend doesn't change, be 1 in 2 probably within the next 50 years. Well, something's doing this, Dave, and this is part of, I believe, the eugenics protocol from the New World Order, sponsored by the UN, trying to reduce the population of the planet. And there's so many other things. Last night on the Hagman Show, we did 2 full hours, all the different eugenics protocols that are being used. But this one, to me, is one of the most insidious ones, because they're telling you they're helping you. They're telling you to go to the doctor. They're telling you to take these immunizations, because they know you trust your doctor. The doctor has no idea what I just told you tonight, unless he studied virology in college. I spent almost 400 hours at the biochemical genetics lab at Florida State. I learned a lot about cytokines, and I learned an awful lot about all these different macrophages, but gosh, that was so long ago, I had to refresh myself on all of this stuff, because you can't retain all this information over 40 years. I'm like 60 years old this year. And so what I've learned is this. Immunizations are dangerous. They're very, very dangerous, because you don't know what's going to go inside of your body. It's bypassing the digestive tract. It's going directly into the bloodstream. It gets involved with all of these macrophages, all of these cytokines, all of this vitamin D that nobody has, because everybody's slathering on sunscreen all the time. We've got a 30% global dimming now because of geoengineering. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, solar panels are not even putting out near the power they're supposed to be putting out all over the country, all over the NATO countries anyhow, because of all the spray they're putting into the air, all the particulates. And we know all that aluminum's coming down on top of us, which also lowers the immune system. And we know when the fluoride and the aluminum combine together, and they actually massively increase the amount of aluminum going through the blood-brain barrier, massively increasing the risks of senile dementia and Alzheimer's. Plus, almost all of these shots they're injecting us with also contain aluminum and other adjuvants. I mean, it's just a process to destroy the human immune system, and they're being very subtle about it, and they're doing a very, very, very good job with 1 in 58 children not coming down in autism. And we have millions and millions with cancer, millions and millions with heart disease, millions and millions with diabetes. And I remember I read an article in the Financial Times a few years ago, and they said that what the pharmacy corporations and the big banks and all the people that own all this stuff, their main goal was to do this, was to make cancer a long and lingering disease that would last for years, if not decades, like diabetes, so they can maximize the profit, which was the fiduciary responsibility of the corporations that were manufacturing these products. That wasn't a direct quote, that's a paraphrase quote, but that was right out of the Financial Times from a few years ago. Now, the sad part about this is nobody wants to talk about this stuff. I mean, nobody wants to go into detail about this stuff and what they're doing, because these pharmaceutical corporations, apparently they're playing for blood with these doctors that are actually involved with the physical research with these children and working with these cancer patients. Now, Gonzalez, he was another guy who was doing a lot of work. Apparently he was starting to work a lot more with these macrophages too. And what he found out basically years ago, he was using pancreatic enzymes to help cure cancer. And he actually was on TV, I think it was on 60 Minutes back in the 90s, and then they did a bogus study with him about 14 years ago, and they completely changed his protocols, and they showed that his protocol did not work at all, and it was a complete lie. His protocol works, and if you go to Wikipedia and look him up, they eviscerate him in the end, so they basically say he was a quack, and he wasn't a quack. I've listened to his stuff, and everything he says is correct. Now, there are a lot of other things you can do as far as increasing the strength of your immune system, but one of the most important things you can do is make sure you take a lanolin-based vitamin D3 combined with K2, and we have that at healthmasters.com. And I personally won't take these injections. And now in California, look what they're doing. They're forcing the children to take the injections if they want to go to the school system. And now they're trying to force adults, they're trying to pass that law that is going to force adults to take immunizations to make sure they stay current. And now our idiot Congress has decided that they're not going to let us find out about GMO foods, and that our individual states can't vote on GMOs. I mean, this whole thing is systematically being designed to destroy us and reduce the population of the planet, and it's sad.
Well, you know, in the last half hour, Katie covered documentation from the FDA that validates essential oils. From the FDA directly, she read right from their documents, yet Katie can't legally read this. And then you turn around, we talk about GMOs, won't be labeled. It's the flip side of the same coin. And now we're looking here at what we know to be true about these chemicals and how the cytokine storm can come in and disrupt our immune system fighting properties like cytokines. And people that are doing the work are being murdered. Ted, it sounds like a
conspiracy. Around 100 of the scientists now that came out against GMOs are all dead, too. 100. I mean, see, nobody wants to talk about this stuff. This stuff is all so negative and so dangerous to talk about. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, I'll talk about it right here. What I keep seeing in every one of these venues that are controversial, the FDA is at the center of it. So are we looking at Murder, Inc. as FDA? I mean, are they synonymous?
No, this, again, what it all goes back down is to the Sabbatine, Frankist, Kabbalist, Rothschild, Luciferians who don't care about you, they don't care about me, they don't care about anybody. It's the wicked banking infrastructure in the world about how pharmaceutical corporations are put above us, how they kill people they don't care, how they make all these drugs, money with all these drugs. That's why if you look in the book of Revelation, it even says these people who peddle the drugs and all this pharmacopoeia, or whatever they call it in the book of Revelation, that they're all going to end up in hell anyhow. I mean, this is just an insidious plot, and it all goes back to the New World Order, to all this Luciferian agenda stuff they always want to do, like they just finished their Bohemian Grove stuff apparently last week. I mean, these guys are a bunch of sickos. They don't look at you and me as a human being, Dave. They look at us as animals. They look at us as something to be culled, as cattle. That's how they see us. They don't think we even have souls. They don't care about us. If we step in a red ant bed and we got a bunch of ants biting us, we start slapping ants and killing ants. We don't think about, oh my gosh, I just killed an ant. That's how they look at us. They don't care. Gosh, they spray us like we're bugs anyhow with the chemtrails and the barium stuff that I've had tested in my own water from my own rain here at the house that was so high in barium and aluminum that you couldn't even drink it according to EPA standards. And that's coming out of the atmosphere. And the only place it can be coming is from the geoengineering and the aerosol spraying. But see, you try to get scientists to talk about this stuff, they don't want to talk about all this stuff. You know, I mean, I'm not one of the only ones that I know that actually talks about it, that's university degrees, because nobody wants to talk about this stuff because it's not politically correct. Does that make sense?
No, it's not politically correct. Ted, Katie, and Dave might end up missing by tomorrow. Anyway, you hear the music. Listen, I appreciate you coming on with Late Notice. You're a good friend of the show, and this is valuable information, and I encourage people to share this. We'll be back next week with a hardcore researcher and broadcaster, Joe Hagman. Thanks, Ted. Thanks so much, Dave.
Good talking to you. Say hi to Katie for me. Bye-bye.
Go out and have a great week, everybody. God bless.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.